Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Turning Readers into Writers. And this week I am looking at a book called The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. It's a bit of a life hack self-help book, but what it does is it helps you understand the kind of personality you've got and how you best work. What this means for you is you can work out how best you write and plan your writing life accordingly. So let's find out a little more about the four tendencies and how they can help you. Welcome to the Turning Readers into Writers podcast, where we teach beginner writers how to find the time and the confidence to write their first novel. I'm your host, Emma Desi, and I'm very excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me today, because if you've been longing to write your novel for forever, then this is the place to be. Think of this as your weekly dose of encouragement, of hand-holding, and general cheerleading as you figure out how you're going to write your first novel. Trust me, as a mum of three young kids, I know how tricky it can be to tuck some time aside for yourself on a regular basis. And even when you do find that spare 5 minutes, you can feel so overwhelmed that no writing gets done. Trust me, I have been there, but this podcast is going to help you in practical ways, because once a week I'll be delivering an episode that gives you steps to building a writing routine, encouragement to build your confidence, and cheerleading until you reach the end. Okay, let's start. Today I wanted to talk to you about Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendency. Gretchen Rubin is one of my go-to sort of life hack gurus. She's written 5 books examining habits and human nature. The most well-known one is The Happiness Project. Over the space of 12 months, she examined 12 areas of her life, including work, family, pleasure, and fitness, and she figured out ways, small ways, that she could make herself happier in each of those areas. She followed this book up with Happier at Home and Better Than Before. But my favourite is her fourth self-help book, The Four Tendencies. The tendencies are described as the indispensable personality profiles that reveal how to make your life better and other people's lives better too. As part of her ongoing investigations into understanding human nature, Gretchen Rubin realised that by asking, "How do I respond to expectations?" we can gain a new layer of self-understanding. Now, one of the inspirations for her writing this book was the number of questions she got from people asking how she managed to quit sugar so easily. In 2012, Gretchen stopped eating sugar, and once she'd made that decision, she stuck to it. And just kind of as a fun fact, you might not know it, but sugar is actually more addictive than cocaine. And so it is no wonder that so many of us struggle to knock it out of our lives permanently. But she got a lot of responses about this, because of course so many people do want to quit sugar but struggle to do so. So what made Gretchen different? This was the question she asked herself, and which led her to do the research into why some people find making life changes easier than others. And what she discovered is that all of us fall into one of four tendencies: upholders, obligers, questioners, and rebels. So why does this matter? Well, have you ever wondered why it is that you cannot keep a New Year's resolution? Or are you able to keep New Year's resolutions but wonder why other people find it so difficult? This was the thing that perplexed Gretchen Rubin until, as she says, she had a eureka moment and understood that the simple, decisive question was, how do you respond to expectations? And what she discovered is there are inner expectations and outer expectations. And it's how we respond to each of these expectations, the ones we set ourselves and the ones others set for us, they determine how we navigate the world. Now, everybody sits somewhere between two tendencies, but for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to keep things simple and talk about the absolute tendencies. And the four tendencies are with us from birth. You know, they're not something that we learn, she says. They are not dependent on any kind of parenting style or upbringing. And surprisingly, they're not connected to whether you are an introvert or an extrovert. So why is it helpful to know your tendency? Well, if I take myself, for example, I'm a very contradictory person and it serves nobody, least of all myself. And I thought, well, if Gretchen can help me explain why I make life so difficult for myself, then this was definitely a book worth reading. And I'm pleased to say she didn't disappoint. What the four tendencies help you with, why they're helpful, is they help you to understand how you manage yourself and how you can get the best results from yourself. And it's important to note that there are no sort of best or worst tendencies. There are happy and healthy people in each of the four tendencies. But knowing which your tendency is, that is the best way to unlocking the best way for you to write your book. So you can use the knowledge that she shares with you in the book to ensure that you're being your best self and you are increasing your chances of success. And success for you means writing that book, writing that short story, writing that memoir, or finishing that poem, or whatever the project is that you are working on. Now, if you go to my blog post, emmadesi.com/the four tendencies, you'll find a link there where you can take the four tendencies quiz. And it takes you through a series of questions, at the end of which you'll discover which of the four tendencies you are. But let's take a brief look at each of them and see how they can be applied to your writing life. So the first tendency is upholder. An upholder meets inner expectations and they meet outer expectations. So this means that the expectations they set for themselves, they manage to uphold those, but equally they uphold the expectations from other people. Gretchen Rubin is an upholder, and that's why she found it so easy to quit the sugar. So upholders tend to be self-directed. They meet deadlines with no problems, they keep appointments, and they manage tasks unsupervised, and they do not depend on reminders. So if you are an upholder, being able to manage the expectations of others and yourself is very, very freeing, because you know that you're going to achieve whichever target you set. That said, those same strengths can, from time to time, become a bit of a weakness because you can end up doing too much. But for upholders to write, well, good news is you're at an advantage because not only will you get yourself going, but once you've decided to write, you're going to meet that deadline that either you or your agent has set for you. If you've promised yourself that you'll have a first draft in by a certain date, that draft will be ready. The struggle you might have as an upholder is patience with others. So if your editor doesn't get your draft with the revisions back to you on the expected date, or if your book cover isn't ready by the time you want to publish, or your book isn't formatted at the time you were expecting it, that can be a little bit difficult for your relationship with that other person, because you know that if you can do it, then you expect the same from them. The second tendency is the questioner. Questioners resist outer expectations, but they meet inner expectations. Once a questioner decides on something, you're going to follow through on that with very little difficulty. You have the self-direction of upholders. Questioners are committed to information, to logic, and to efficiency. You're going to gather the facts and make a decision based on those facts, and then you'll act accordingly. If somebody asks you to do something, you're going to want a logical reason why you've got to comply. If it makes sense to you, then you'll internalise that expectation and you'll act upon it. One of the examples that Gretchen gives, because her husband is a questioner, and she gives a very simple example. If she was to ask her husband to pop down to the store and get some toothpaste before everybody heads out to work, he's most likely to say no. But if Gretchen was to say, could you pop down to the store and get some toothpaste because we've run out, then that makes sense to him because he's a questioner, and yep, that's fine, he'll internalise that, he can accept that, and he'll do it. The downside of being a questioner is that you can take the questioning too far, and then it becomes exhausting, not just for you, the questioner, but also the people around you. And also, if you don't like the answer to the question, you might refuse to follow through on that instruction or request. And this can cause a bit of conflict, both at home and at work. But what about questioners who write? Questioners are probably those that get caught down the research rabbit hole. You'll spend so much time trying to understand every aspect of your fictional world that you never get round to doing the actual writing. However, once you've decided to write, you will get that manuscript written promptly. A potential solution to the never-ending research for questioners is to set yourself a deadline. Once you've done that, when you know there's a deadline in place, you will adhere to that. And it can also be useful to have an accountability buddy, because a questioner working alone may become, as Rubin writes, frozen with indecision. The third tendency is the obliger. So an obliger will meet outer expectations but resist inner expectations. This is the opposite to the questioner. You probably know if you're an obliger because you are the person who can never put your needs first. If you're an obliger, you are part of the biggest group of the four tendencies and the one that people count on the most. You meet deadlines. You volunteer to help other people. You are the ones who turn up and help a friend in the middle of the night. Obligers get along most easily with all the other three tendencies. But there is the danger that an obliger will burn themselves out in the desire to meet the expectations of the world. Because for you, if you're an obliger, letting somebody down is simply not acceptable. So obligers who write, obligers work incredibly well with an accountability partner because it's that external accountability, whether it be a writing coach or just another writer. But a word of warning, if that partner doesn't hold you accountable or is unreliable themselves, you will fall short. So a way around this is to be part of an accountability group so that if one partner falls short, there's someone else there who can pick up the slack. And this is where a paid-for editor or a book coach might be worth their weight in gold to you. The fourth tendency and the smallest group is the rebel. Rebels resist outer expectations and they also resist inner expectations. Rebels do what they want, when they want, how they want. If you're a rebel, your natural inclination is to resist if somebody else tells you to do something. You often lack self-control and love to go against expectations and conventions, and you love to confound people's expectations of you. Rebels value authenticity and honesty. You like to establish your own way of doing things, and once you've established it, you will do it very, very enthusiastically. So rebels who write. Rebels will write what they want, as much as they want, and when they want. Once you know you've got the choice to either write your book or not, then you're going to make the best decision for you. Where this can become difficult is once you have an editor and a deadline, and you've got to stick to that, that can be tricky. But if you acknowledge that you've got the choice to either publish this new book or not, it should hopefully make your decision making much easier. Alternatively, you could make a bet with yourself that you'll never get the book finished on time. Your response would be, "Don't tell me I won't finish my book. I'll show you." Now, I'm a rebel, and certainly this all resonates very, very strongly with me. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy and I never get things done. But once I've made the decision to do it, once I made that decision to write my first book, I did it. Gretchen Rubin concluded that the happiest and most successful people are those who have figured out the ways to exploit their tendency to their benefit and, just as important, found ways to counterbalance its limitations. So figure out how to exploit your tendency to your benefit and you'll go a long way in your writing life and have a very, very successful career. I absolutely recommend that you read The Four Tendencies, and in the blog post and in the show notes I have given you the links to do so, and I've also given you the links to the quiz. So go ahead, do The Four Tendencies quiz and let me know which tendency you are. I hope you found that interesting, a little bit, something a bit different, but I also hope it's really going to help you figure out how you can best work to make sure that you get your first draft finished. All right, I'll speak to you soon. Bye! Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that helpful and inspirational. Now, don't forget to come on over to Facebook and join my group, Turning Readers into Writers. It is especially for you if you are a beginner writer who is looking to write their first novel. If you join the group, you will also find a free cheat sheet there called 3 Secret Hacks to Write with Consistency. So go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, hit join, can't wait to see you in there. All right, thank you, bye-bye.